I was thinking of those songs we sang here this morning, and I've always been really blessed with songs. They bless my soul a lot, and I think that we amongst the saints especially are blessed with some of the best songs in the world. One of the songs that came to my mind a while ago is, "The Lord is my light and the strength of my life. Then of whom shall I be afraid?" And there's more to that that doesn't come to mind right now. But I want, what's the rest of that, Brother Harden? "The Lord is the light and the strength." I can sing it. "He hideth my soul from the troubles that roll in the cleft, in the rock that he has made. Then nearer, my Savior, to thee will I come. Thou knowest the way that I take. Oh, lead me to glory. There is my home. Thy angels..." Oh, thank the Lord. And I was thinking about that when I talked about the mountain. Sometimes those things look awfully large to us. But I like that first part. "The Lord is the light and the strength of my life." The Lord. Yeah. The Lord. And I'll tell you, folks, that our God, he hasn't lost any stature or any power or any ability. He's still the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be that way in the future. And it's safe for us to put our faith and our confidence, our trust in him. Well, most of my life I have dabbled a little bit in carpentry. I also am a farmer, just a pretty common old country boy. But I never have been much of a framing man. I've done a little of that. But I was helping a fellow one time doing some framing. More than once, I've kind of done a little framing. And when you start seeing a pitch on a roof, there are things hold that roof up. There's pieces of wood up there. And I had a fellow say, "I want so many rafters cut." And he said, "I've already made you the pattern. And I want you to lay this pattern out on these other boards, these 2x6s over here. I want you to lay it out right there. And you set it just right, and you mark where this thing sits, and then you cut out that." And he had that one that was pattern. He put a PAT on that. That meant pat. That's short for pattern. Now, have you ever noticed that you can take a pattern and you can lay it down there, and you mark and you make that cut? That next one isn't exactly like the first. And if I took that one and used it consecutively, kept on using it, you know what? By the time I get through cutting all those rafters, you're liable to have something that's going to look very different than the first. I want to read over here in Exodus, the 25th chapter. These little words have struck me before. They were impressed to my mind again here this morning. The Lord was giving instruction of how things should be built in the temple. A lot of little minute details. Certain things had to be built. He gave the instructions how it would be built. And let me, this part has the 40th verse. And the Lord was giving counsel here again. He said, "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Well, I want to dwell just a little bit on the pattern this morning. Now, folks, we've got a lot of good examples that has lived before us. And they're worthy looking at. And the Bible says, "Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright." I want to tell you what, we have one pattern. One pattern. It's good to acknowledge what the Lord has done in somebody else's life. But folks, every one of us need to have the pattern put on our lives. That pattern is Christ Jesus. I might deviate a little bit. I may not understand fully what he would like to get across to me. And folks, if young folks, if you pattern your life after mine, you may excuse something that God never intended for you to excuse. God may want to get something across to you personally. Help your understanding to be opened up and developed to the point that you see this truth so clearly that it will guide you down a safe path in life. If you try to pattern your life after me, I might deviate a little, but there's one that never has. He's always been perfect. And he's safe for you and I. He set down a good example. A safe path. Oh, the other day I was thinking about this. Actually, last Sunday morning, I was thinking about some of this. Sometimes we, have you ever felt in life that maybe you caught in a little kind of a close place and it was tempting to embellish the truth or maybe not tell the whole thing? Or because if you did, it puts you in a little bit of a bad light. You know that feeling. You know that feeling. I'm not going to ask you to show hands, but I'm going to ask you the question. Have you ever fudged it just a little bit? Have you ever given over a little bit? Now I want to point you to a pattern that says, neither was guile found in his mouth. Neither was guile found in the pattern's mouth. He set down a good path. He set down a faithful one. It was true. It was straight. You know, when you start cutting rafters, a lot of these boards have a little bit of what we call a crown in them. They got a little bow. And you always want to put that crown up to the top. That way when the weight gets on there, it'll maybe straighten out a little bit. Then, as I'm cutting them, there's a few, I sight down this board, and it's just true and straight. You know, I cut that pattern, you know, I cut that one, and you know where I want that one to go? I want it to go out there on that end, the one that everybody will see, called the bar drafter. The one that's out there in the open, I want to save that one. I want to tell you, the Lord put the perfect example right out there for you all of us to see. He is the rock, Christ Jesus. But I'm thinking about this. What God, sometimes we think the little details maybe aren't that important. Have you ever felt that way? That sometimes, well, being a more of a trim type carpenter that I've worked in, I'm a little interested when I'm putting crown together. That has to be a real close measurement. I want that joint. I don't want you to look up at that joint and see light clear the way through. I want it to be tight. I want it to look right. And you know, to do that, a lot of times my mark is made with a knife. Knife's edge. Because I know right where I want. And I'm getting harder anymore. It's harder for me to see well. To see that close. But folks, when the little details matter. If you're not real careful, when you start trying to put this thing together, one time a framing carpenter told me, he said, I don't want to have any measurements given to me, anything over quarter inch increments. Quarter's fine. I want to tell you, when you're trimming and putting crown up, you better have a whole lot closer than quarter inch increments. Some of you are going to understand that, what I just told you, some of you won't. But what I'm really saying, the details matter. Not in just carpentry, but the way we live our lives. And there are times as we go through life, we can be tempted to think, well, that little thing, it really doesn't matter. I want to tell you, sometimes it matters an awful lot. Especially the days when it feels like everything, urgency of a moment comes and falls upon you. Have you ever had an incident where maybe somebody called for prayer and it was a desperate case? They're needing help now. Yes. And at that moment, you're going to find out the little details matter. The moment it seems like your world crumbles in an instant, you're going to find out at that moment that the details matter. May the Lord help us. There is a pattern. And he said here, he gave counsel. and look that you make them after their pattern. Didn't say patterns. Wasn't plural. This was singular. We've got one pattern. Jesus Christ, the righteous. I would like to look over here now in Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want to get down here to the 12th verse. And notice we have a lot of different age groups here today, from little to old, and all of us in between. Timothy was a young man. I don't really know his age. I'm not sure anybody really does. But it's clear that he was a fairly young pastor. I feel like it's clear that he's a fairly young pastor of this area. And Brother Paul was giving him some counsel. And he said, 12th verse, let no man despise your youth. Now, young folks, I want us to stop here just a little bit. This doesn't mean don't let anybody just say, y'all, you're too young. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about don't live and act in such a way that you'll bring any kind of reproach. That's what this is talking about. Don't let anybody despise. Okay, now go beyond just the young folks. Did you know us older ones can live in such a way that we can bring a reproach also? I think this can go on. This was directed to Timothy evidently because he was a younger man. But it can be directed at all of us. Don't live in such a way that you bring any kind of reproach. Don't let anybody despise who you are. If you claim to be a Christian, be a Christian. And we have a pattern for it, don't we? It isn't up to everybody's definition of what a Christian is. Christ led the way. That's the pattern. And we can try to tweak that. We can try to act something different. But folks, may the Lord help us each one to live in such a way that as we live that life, people will say they're who they say they are. Amen. Hey, Christian, don't let anybody despise your youth or your testimony. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Now we have Christ is the example, but think about ourselves a little bit in life. I have children and I have some grandchildren now. And sometimes I look at myself. And I say, have I left behind a good example for them? Am I leaving behind a good example? I'm challenged because I want them to be able to look at me, and I want them, for one thing, I want to gender confidence in my children. When they look at Daddy, I want them to say, well, Daddy's got his idiosyncrasies and he's a little bit, but he's right. He's doing it right. He loves God. I want them to be able to testify that. I want them to have that confidence. And then as my grandchildren begin to come up, I want them at some point to, maybe after I'm dead and gone, them to say, Grandpa loved God. He held it. He was maybe a little hard-headed and had his own idiosyncrasy. Yeah. But he did it right. He loved God. I want to pass that on. Be thou an example. Be thou. Every one of us, little up. If you got a hold of God, keep a hold of Him. Yeah. Folks, there's winds out there blowing. The devil would love to shake you loose. The devil would love to somehow cloud your vision of what truth is. The devil would like to somehow get questions in your mind that's not honest and true questions. Questions that would lead you astray. Somehow get you off, try to tell you some of the details don't matter. But God is asking us to be an ambassador. Be an example. Be a
representative. Of who? Of him.
When we are representing somebody, we're not representing ourselves anymore. I'm there on business of the King. Recently, around this time of the year, most of the time we'll take some time and read some of the things surrounding, the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. And they had to take note this year. Remember the angels that came and visited. First visited Zacharias, the father of John. And then visited Mary. And you remember what the angel's name was? Gabriel. And he said, "My name's Gabriel, and I've come from the presence of God, of the Lord. That's where I'm come from." And that struck me. That's where, Lord, help us to live. And he wasn't representing Gabriel. He was representing the Lord. And as you and I go from here and live our lives, may the Lord help us to live in such a way that no one would despise our testimony. No one could lay a finger on it. No one could say, they sure talk high, but there's nothing there. May the Lord help us. Let no man despise your youth. Be thou an example of the believers. There's a lot of things we can be an example of, but God wants us to be an example of those who believe, who are full of faith. There are times we can go through life, and if this is something we just, maybe a preference, well, I kind of like being around those folks. I kind of enjoy being around the saints. I love their songs, love their singing. I've seen some people rejoice in the Lord, and I kind of like seeing it. But folks, there's going to be a day for you that the rubber's going to meet the road, and you're going to have to know whether you believe it or not. And you'll not survive unless you believe for yourself. Folks, when I came to the Lord for salvation, there had been enough things happen in my life that I didn't believe that the Lord would save me. It was just one of those things that the devil was kind of building up. So the Lord had to bring me to a place that he himself convinced me utterly of his love for me. And he did. I want to tell you folks, God wants to do that for every one of us personally. You need a foundation for your faith. Seek for that foundation. Seek for that knowing. For that personal experience with the Lord. You're not going to be a good example of a believer unless you are a believer. You know. I know in my heart what... They've got another song. I know in my heart what it means. When the sweet songs of Zion are floating above and the saints all rejoice in the Lord, I too can rejoice. Because he sanctified me. And I know in my heart what it means. You see? Folks, that'll take you through the hard places. That'll give you something. When Brother Paul and Brother Silas had been beaten, midnight hour came, all fastened in stocks. Long, I don't know how long they'd been there, but I think it was feeling like a long time. And I have thought many times, I don't, just personal feelings, because I'm a human. I think if I'd have been in Brother Silas's position, I'd have been saying, "Brother Paul, are you sure we need to say all we said? Are you sure we're in the right place, Brother Paul?" And I don't know, perhaps one of them was kind of talking a little bit like that. Maybe the other said, "Brother, you remember that song, number 223? I mean to go right on. You remember that one? Would you mind starting out?" And they started singing. I don't know what song they sang, but I'm confident it was a song of adoration to the Lord. With the stripes on their back. Feet in the stocks. Unable to get free, but their soul was alive and walking free. They believed, you see. Something held them. And God himself showed up. Folks, God's going to show up for you too. Not always just the way you think He's going to. But He's going to show up. I've had Him come by and say peace to the waves and they just all lay down. Then I've had Him strengthen me and carry me through the waves. And the waves are still there. But He always showed up. He has never failed. Can't say that for me. But I can say that about my Lord. Be an example of the believers. Oh, again, I think about that example. Best way to be an example is put your life right down there on that pattern. Right there. Just put it down that pattern. And when you find that you're a little bit off, I've had to. In natural, if you're out there doing carpentry work there, sometimes you got to trim something. And that first cut, sometimes when I like, if I'm cutting crown, I like to cut it as close as what I can. But there's times I maybe cut it, I fudge a little bit on the long side because I know I can always trim a little bit off. Sometimes, folks, in our life, we do as best we can, but then I get up next to the pattern, I got to trim a little. That's okay. You know, the Lord takes people, imperfect people, and perfects that concerns us. That's what He's doing. He loves taking people like you and I and making us whole. Using the pattern and applying it in our lives. Oh, let no man despise your youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word. How about the words? We already talked a little bit about guile, haven't we? Sometimes, generally that's expressed most of the time in words. Or sometimes it's expressed in actions too. Yes, it can sure be that way. There have been times that I have maybe somebody asked me a question and I didn't want to answer it. So I maybe kind of smiled and let them think what they wanted to think. Knowing that what they wanted to think is what I wanted them to think. I didn't want to tell them the truth. You ever done that? Lord help us. I'm not here to try to put anybody in a straitjacket. I just want to say, put your life on the pattern. Measure it according to the pattern. And when there needs to be some trimming, just own up to it. And I was working in a house recently, putting up some cabinets, and there was another man in there working. He's putting in a crown up around the top. And his crown was too long. And he just got him a block of wood and a hammer, and he beat that in. Scarred it up good and broke some of the end. And I thought, brother, if you'd have just trimmed a little, just. And our life can be like that. You know that? Oh, I know I need to fix that, but I just beat it in. They all know me. That's just who I am. Be careful. There's one that came and laid his life down on Calvary to save people and help them. And he also ushered in the very Holy Spirit of God for our help in those places like that to give us power. That we shouldn't need to be a slave to things like that all the days of our life, do we? Don't need to be. Not when the power of God is there to help us. And there's a pattern. That we can lay our lives down, and when the trimming needs to happen, He's got grace for us. And it's such a blessing when you get it done and it fits. And it just feels comfortable. And then we all get together, all different members, all brought in here, and we fit together. Isn't that what Paul was talking about? Members fitly framed together. Put together and growing up into people, not of all the same ideas, not of all the same personalities, but of the same pattern. and they just fit together so well. And people look on that group of people and say, that must be the saints of God. That's His children. Because they act just like their father. Isn't that what we want? An example? An ambassador? Somebody who's representing the Heavenly Father here on this earth? There's a lot of dysfunctional people out there that don't know where to land. They're all out of sorts and don't know where to go. And they're trying to fit in. When God has the answer, if we can just come and they can put their lives down on the Lord Jesus Christ, give up who they are, quit representing themselves. Because most of the time, folks, when we represent ourselves, we look pretty ugly. We start acting bad. And we get to where we start feeling bad because I'm acting bad. I go home and I got to keep up this front that I think I'm. But when I get alone, I get embarrassed. And why did you do that? I still have enough of that to deal with, but when I was living in sin, folks, I hated who I had become. Hated it. Other people couldn't live with me. I couldn't live with myself. It's terrible. And then the Lord, and there's a pattern. And I find the more that I trim to that pattern, the more, the better things go. And the more that He causes us to be able to fit together and sit together in heavenly places where the Lord is running free. And some of the frictions, I'm going to tell you a story, and I hope that I've got the right person. If I don't, somebody who knows the story better might correct me. There was a minister among us. He's dead now. I believe it was Brother Sam Barton, but I'm not sure. He was a bricklayer, mason. And one time he was talking about laying bricks and talking about the mortar that was between it. And he said, that mortar's like love. He said it holds those bricks together and it keeps them that far apart. Did you know that's true? God's got to, He needs to help us to learn to give each other the proper amount of space. There's something to that, folks. Love does what? It suffers long. Charity. God's love suffers long and is kind. Doesn't mean you have to give room for sin, folks. That's not what it's talking about. But all of us, we're going to have some differences of our idiosyncrasies. I'm glad not all of you are like me. And I'm really glad not everybody's like you. But God put us together. Complementarily. He meant for us to complement each other. And we can. By the grace of God and by His love, by employing the pattern. We do well together. Because God's at work in people's lives. Folks, there's nothing that makes a minister, pastor, any happier than to see folks getting hold of God in the congregation and start seeing changes come and start hearing Wednesday night prayer meeting when they get up and start testifying how the Lord opened a scripture to them, how the Lord began to inspire something to them, and how they're moving right up. They're hungry for the things of the Lord. And you start seeing that hunger and thirst. And I want to tell you what, the pastor is happy. Because he knows that's fertile ground for growth. And he knows that's fertile ground for the Lord to bless that congregation. Oh, may the Lord help us all. He goes beyond the congregation. Ministers, folks. Be an example. Ministers. He was talking to Timothy here, I believe, who was a young minister. Minister, be examples. Lord, help us. Let no man despise your youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word. You know, sometimes our words, I believe it was Brother James spoke quite a bit about the words, didn't he, about the tongue. this little old member that has a lot of power in it. You know, we can encourage somebody. We can come by them, pat them on the back and say, "Brother, I appreciate what the Lord's helped you." And I'm sorry, folks, I don't do this real well myself either. May the Lord help us. Maybe lay down the pattern and do a little trimming here. Pat each other. "Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. How you doing, brother? You doing all right? God, you seem a little down. Can I pray for you?" We don't have to delve deeply in each other's lives, but brother, I want to encourage you. Now, if somebody wants to open up, be there for them. But we don't be careful that give that love gives enough space too. May the Lord help us here. Love, one of the things that love does, cares for one another. In word, you see. I don't want to say something that would hurt. Doing the best you know how to do. You will say something as you go through life that somebody will have an opportunity to feel offended at. Have you ever said something and somebody else came by and maybe they misheard what you said and went away and felt offended? And you wonder, what did I say? What did I do? And then you find out later, wasn't it all what you said? You ever seen that? At doing the best you know how. And we have a devil that will accentuate and try to blow things out of proportion. So that in here then, there's some lessons to be learned. If I'm the one that begins to feel, I heard you say something and I felt, did you know I don't have to give over to offense? I hope you heard that. We don't have to give over to offense. I don't have to. You see, God has grace for us. He has grace for us to pray for that person that we think offended us, whether they did or not. I saw, and the brother's gone, dead and gone right now. I saw, and I was a young man. Not a young man, I was a boy still. Remember Brother Donald Sharp? There was a time when I was, he was my pastor when I was a boy. And I saw him one time when there were some hurtful things. I know there was hurtful things said to him. And the people in the congregation was sitting there that morning. His wife was crying out in the car. She couldn't hardly bring herself. It was painful. And Brother Donald Sharp also had felt the sting. I can tell you this morning what I saw him do that day. He was out there trying to pray and comfort with his wife. And he got out of the car. Put a smile on his face. "Well, hello, good morning." And preached his heart out that morning because he found grace. I want to tell you something that said something to me. Didn't have to take offense. Though somebody may have meant it to be so, he found grace. Don't we have a pattern that did that? Don't we? Why did he stay on the cross? If he would have taken offense when they smote him, when they beat him, when they threw and mocked him, he had many opportunities to take offense, and he didn't. The pattern didn't do it. The pattern was an example. Insomuch that while they had done their worst to him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know." What great victory that was. And folks, he did it for you and I. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame. That means the shame didn't have any power over him. He met shame with all its craven laughingness. He met shame right at it and got the victory. Went straight on through. Despising the shame now to sit down at the right hand of Throne of God.
Making intercession for you and me.
Oh, the Lord help us. Be an example in word. All kinds of words, whatever it is. Again. And folks, if we find that we have said, realize that we have said something that has been offensive, may the Lord help us to have grace to say, brother, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. Or even if I did mean it that way, I'm sorry. I didn't want to hurt you. Can I help you make heaven? There have been many times I've thought when sometimes we have ordinance service, we wash each other's feet. I know that can be a very precious service. But I want to tell you what the best ways of tending to one another, washing each other's feet, is sometimes when this clutter begins to build up, a little bit of the dust of life begins. And maybe I found that I have trespassed on you. If I just come to you and I'm sorry. Sorry, I never meant it that way. Sorry, can I help you? I want to help you make heaven. In fact, there have been many times when during the ordinary feet washing service, you hug one another, and I'm said, oh, I want to help. Can I help? Let's help each other make heaven. That's what I want. Let's do it. Do the little things. Little things that some people may not think is important, but it's very important. The details. In word, conversation. Conversation was, we think, well, maybe that just means words and conversation. You know, you can converse in lots of other ways besides words. Lots of other ways. You can come here and say all the right words and act and live and dress in such a way that says, my heart's of the world. You can do that. Can do it. Let's converse with one another in such a way. Sisters, converse a message to your brothers that you love his soul and you want to help him make heaven by your dress. Is that all right? I believe it is. Whether you say it's not all right, I thank the Lord to have us to recognize that we have a responsibility to each other. And brothers, live and conduct in such a way, yourself in such a way, that our young ladies and women can feel secure and safe in your godliness. Live in a godly manner that our women can feel comfortable and safe that this man is a man of God, and they will feel the security of that godly man. It's important. It's important. When they don't feel that, you're leaving them vulnerable to try to find it somewhere else. You got a responsibility, men. There's a pattern. There's a pattern been laid down before us of godliness that when we go down that pattern, it produces good results in your life and in society in general. So, be an example, word, and conversation in charity. Here again, this is kind of getting over that area we started on a while. We dealt with a little bit a while ago. Godly love. You know, love goes an awful long way. We can treat each other in such a way that it'd be hard to believe when somebody said, I love you. So I'll give you a little example that's kind of comical, but it makes a good point. I heard a story one time, I don't think it really happened, it's probably something somebody made up. A fella said that, you know, the story was told, he got married, told his wife that he loved her. Went on through life and he didn't say anymore. She said, you used to say that I say you love me. And he said, well, I told you I loved you when I married you. And I tell you, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Does that sound like love? It doesn't sound like love. I know it sounds comical, but the point I hope you get. We can act in such a way that it's hard for them to believe my words. Charity, actions follow charity. You're going to be that way. There's going to be a genuineness about who you are. You know, this type of genuineness, care for one another, it'll break down all kinds of ill feelings in relationships. Race relationships too, folks. Genuinely care. It doesn't, really? Love. Charity. Love of God. No, we're not ever talking about caring. I've heard this too. Take little children. Parents say, oh, they're so cute. And they're too cute to discipline. Folks, that's not love either. And we can almost get that feeling, well, I love them so much, I just don't want to. I'll just excuse sin in my children, you see. You ever seen that happen? Make excuses for your children where you wouldn't. Folks, charity still says what truth is. Charity still does. Charity doesn't. God never asks us to excuse sin, but to hold the truth in love. And it can be done. Because I think it is love to hold the truth. Again, in a godly manner. Charity. In spirit. Be an example now. In spirit. You ever see anybody had a bad spirit? You can identify that, can't you? Well, quote part of Scripture, let it not once be named among us. Let it not once be said about us that we've got a foul spirit, got a bad spirit. I believe that real love of God would take care of all that. It help us change that bad spirit into, will bring this temple into a place where the Holy Spirit can come and dwell. And that's very important, folks. Because actually, at the core of every man, where he began. See, sin passed over all the world because of Adam and Eve. And there's a bad spirit, God in man. But God gave us His Holy Spirit to replace that old bad spirit. To empower, to overcome. You don't have to live life in a bad spirit, bad way. So then it says to us in this day, who we are as individuals. Be an example in your spirit and who you are. We can go around sour, just always edgy. Have you ever seen people who are touchy? You ever seen that? Real sensitive. Woo-hoo. Seemed like I always had a chip on their shoulder. You always feel comfortable around them, just like. Let me tell you how you feel around people who you kind of. You ever heard of walking on eggshells? Kind of. They're not comfortable and you're not comfortable. When the right spirit comes to replace those old bad spirits, people get comfortable with one another. There's a relaxation that comes. You know, when you start getting these bad spirits coming here and friction starts coming, and you start looking at people sideways and you start wondering what. Are they talking about me? You ever felt that way? I remember back when I was in school, I was pretty sensitive. And I had the idea that everybody was, that when they were whispering, they were talking about me. And I would just bristle. And the way I dealt with that wasn't good. I was about ready to fight. Oh, I tell you what, don't you do that. It didn't ever work well. And then the Lord began to, when He got a hold of my heart, He had to help me understand. Doesn't matter if they're talking about you or not. matter. And maybe they were saying something good. Why don't you just assume they were saying something good? It helps you feel better. Really, the Lord would like to help us to not let the devil have an advantage wherever it comes. We start having this, you know what, the devil, he'll get an advantage and he'll use it once he sees you tightening up and a little carnality starting to grow in there. Folks, he'll use that. He'll exploit it to his. And it won't be long. You'll be sideways with nearly everybody, including yourself. Bad spirit, you see. Something got in. Be an example now. Lord, help us, all of us, as we go through life. Start finding that we're getting a little off in our spirit. Lord, oh, renew a right spirit. Isn't that what David said? Renew a right spirit within me. In conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Faith. Nothing inspires faith anymore than to get alone with God and get to know Him. It wasn't that long ago I was praying for the younger generation. I said, Lord, give them some things in their life that will anchor them, that they will get to know You. And I knew when I prayed it that the way the Lord has always done that, most of the time has done that, has let people go through hard places. And no, I wasn't praying. I wasn't saying, Lord, give them some hard trial. That wasn't what I was meaning to say. But I want to tell you what, that's normally what happens. Some difficult places to go through. And then here came one Wednesday night. We was together and I heard some of the young folks saying how the Lord had showed himself to them. And I began to cry because I knew what the Lord was doing. He was showing Himself to them. Personalizing His experience of who He was to them. You know what that does? It builds faith. When I was young in the Lord, we had an older man in our congregation that was on his deathbed. We went over to sing for him. Typically, this is what happens when we go and visit the sick and go and try to do something for them. Have you ever noticed how we're going to try to do something for them, but we come away with more than what we gave them? Have you ever noticed you got a real blessing when you did that? Went over here, Brother Oscar Wall was his name. I think he may have had cancer. And he was on his deathbed, and we sang him a song. In the middle of that song, the words of that song was speaking to his soul. And he pushed his arm up there in the air. Those words were his. That God was his. And I still can't, the memory of that quaking hand going up in the air. And a man of God fighting to win, laying down good path, setting down a good, clear, good, clean, safe path for me to follow. He's a good man. You know the reason why he was a good man? Because he put his life on a pattern. You know what that did? That began to build my faith too. I saw that the Lord did it for him. It's important for us to testify and encourage you young folks. Say, this is what the Lord's been doing. This is what He's done in the past. This is how He's helped me. But there comes a day that the Lord wants to confirm it to you. Oh, us older ones, be an example of faith. Be an example of the faith. When your time comes, God help us to be an example of the faith. Just stand there where God puts you. You know, I believe that the devil is trying his best to try to attack faith. He's doing his best to try to obliterate it. feel like one of the reasons why maybe it's on shaky grounds in some people's lives is because there hasn't been enough time spent between that person and God. One time I came to the altar for prayer, having a struggle in my spiritual walk with the Lord. The minister came down, and one of the first questions when we were talking about my case, the first question he asked me, he said, "How's your prayer life?" I want to tell you folks, that'll cure a lot of problems. That'll also inspire your faith. That'll set you on good solid ground. I want to tell you, I believe it's maybe one of the keys of where we live in every age, but especially the one we're in here today. The devil would like to do all he could to steal our prayer life. For it doesn't mean as much to me as what it used to. You ever felt the devil attacking that? You know the reason why he attacks it? Because if he can get you pulled away from that, he knows he can cool you down and then set a trap and then get you to the place that you'll fall. All be an example of the faith. In purity. Oh, there's a lot of areas that the devil would like to try to get us to a place that some of these things don't seem so important anymore. We start getting over there in a territory that kind of fudged the boundary. And think, well, it's not that. I'm doing all right. You ever feel like, well, Eve, you know, if she bit of that fruit, tasted good, told her husband, I'm still alive. I'm fine. Why don't you take a bite? Thought she was fine, folks. We're not fine when we get over into the devil's territory. The story, I haven't read it. I recall it from someone else that told the story. Tertullian, early church father, dealing with a woman that I believe the story went that she was possessed, claimed to be a Christian, dealing with this other forces. And as the ministers began to deal with her, I guess there was a manifestation of the Spirit. And the Spirit was rebuked. And I believe was it Tertullian that rebuked the Spirit and said, "Why do you think you have a right? This is a child. This woman's a child of God. Why have you any right to be with her?" He said, "I found her in my domain." You know what that means? She'd gotten too close to the edge. We can open the door to things that God never intended for us to open the door to. Be an example. Impurity. Now, I've got children and I've got grandchildren. And I'm thinking about me when I look at them and think, Lord, help me to lay down good tracks for them to follow. I want them to make it. I've seen many a younger generation get tripped up on some traps and pitfalls that were set by the parents. You've seen that? I've seen many. A younger generation got destroyed because some parents didn't put some real important things in their life. Some parents didn't set the example in a safe way. And so then I think of my children and my grandchildren coming on, I begin to examine myself sometimes a little closer. And I say, Lord, help me. And He says, I will. Here's the pattern. Here it is. This is the way. Walk in it. Pray for me. I want to make heaven.